Visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Want to know what the guys are up to this very minute? Friend us at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. This is Rob for the Worn Out Ass Podcast, and with me today is
Brian Shader,
and he's with
Castle One Games.
Awesome, and we're talking about the game
Denied the Stars.
Heck yeah, and I've been denied.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to play test. You were so busy today. Everybody was literally at your booth constantly today.
I wish we could have got you guys in, but right before we walked over, the announcers or the event people came over and said we're closing the hall in 20 minutes, and so pack it up.
Yeah. You know, there are people playing your game at the playtesting tables as well. I saw. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we went and dragged that back from them because we needed the extra copy. Like, oh, this is that fun. You're not over there. Play it if you enjoy it. If you get the rules right or wrong, whatever, as long as you enjoy it.
I think that is the truth. Enjoying the game is the most important part of any game. So why don't you give me an overview?
All right, well, Denied the Stars is it's basically a tabletop game. It's a living card game. Both players take the role of captains of a 50-kilometer-long super capital battleship. And you're basically in a fight to the death. You're firing weapons, batteries that can shatter planets, torpedoes, missiles, bombers, fighters. You're launching assault craft aboard the other ship and tear them apart from the inside. You have 500,000 souls on your board that will die by your command or from your mistakes. But in the end, only the ship is what matters. And the game is entirely customizable. Your ship is made of cards, and so we've got 60 different weapons you can slot into your ship. Reactors, shields, your captains, your officers, your crew itself, fighters, bomber, your loadout, all of that is completely customizable. So you can fight how you want to fight.
Now, how many players was this again?
It's a two-player game.
It's two-player. And one side represents one of the ships, and the other side represents the other, correct?
Yep, we encourage players to name their ships and fight to the death for them, because if they lose, they will die.
I think we should kill somebody after.
I was just going to say, if you know, now that would add a whole new level to
it. I call not me.
If when you say fight to the death, you meant to the death.
In the game.
Oh, all right.
I'm putting Ben in because he wants to die right now.
We are a touch literal, so when you say fight to the death, we're thinking, oh, I'm going to shank this fucker at the end of this game.
Fair enough.
That's just funny.
Most games, especially the ones that were demoed downstairs today, came down to just a slight difference in crew strength, where it came down to the last turn. This guy missed a shot. It was that close almost all the games.
Wow.
We only had one game of all the people that had never played it before, only one game that was a blowout. Everyone came down to, if you do this, you will win. If you not, so it always seemed to come down to that last die roll.
That's great when you can balance the game out so that everybody's equally, so you don't have somebody overpowering a game so bad. Because again, it's funner if games are close. People enjoy a close game. So if game mechanics work, that the mechanics are that players are fairly equally matched, and like you said, if it comes down to a single move, you know, a couple of moves, it's great because then even the person who lost knows they did their best. They don't feel like, oh, I creamed this
dice thing. Ruined me.
What's that?
The dice ruined me.
Exactly. If the mechanics of the game are good and it plays like that, that's an absolutely brilliant way to go. Okay, so.
You said this is a card game. Like, when you customize your ship, do you, like, choose from, like, a pool of cards at the beginning of the game?
Or yeah, what you would do is, before you face your opponent, you go through your cards and decide, like, okay, I want these guns, these turrets, this reactor, maybe these special compartments. Maybe a teleporter allow me to beam my crew on the other person's ship. But if I miss, I just beam them into space. You decide what weapons, your captain, your officers that get to help you, and then you build your deck, your fighters, your bombers, the orders you can give, the bad things that happen to your opponents called misfortunes, good things that happen to you, even the orders you give. And then that's what you fight the game out with.
What made you decide to do a two-player game? Because there's not a whole lot of two-player board games out there.
Well, originally the original idea came, strangely enough, we were sitting in a Taco Bell and we were deciding, like, we wanted to make a board game, and we were talking back and forth about, like,
many good ideas come from Taco Bell.
I know, and this wasn't like a 4 a.m. drunken Taco Bell.
Oh, I don't know about bad ideas.
We stopped at Taco Bell for breakfast, God help us.
That's got a story, I'm betting.
Yeah, well, not really. We stopped there to eat on the way to a gaming convention in St. Louis, and so we were just talking about we wanted to make a game. We went to make a game completely different than anything else, and we pitched some ideas around. I came with the idea of, you know what, I don't know of any game where you play just a massive ship and you are just beating the crap out of another massive ship, boarding each other, tearing it apart, and it's just, it's dark, it's violent. We built a universe around it and then designed the game from the universe. So
yeah, for the explanation alone, I've played a lot of tabletop games, played a lot of card games, played a lot of board games. There are some space exploration games that I've played, but I haven't really heard of any battle, like, ship battle games quite on, like, play.
Yeah, like, when I looked at it, when I was just passing by it, the first time I just kind of dismissed it as, a four-time type of board game. And then when you mentioned, hey, wait, there's only two players in this, and they're, like, battling each other, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, man, I got to talk about this.
We know that limits us, but it also makes experience much more personal. And one of the big problems with, like, three-player games especially, and four players, is you get the kingmaker. I can't win, but I can decide which of the you two wins. The person that's in last doesn't have a chance of coming back, but they can decide the game for the winner. With this, it's personal. You are in a ship knife-fighting like a gentleman.
Yeah, I get nailed on the three-person thing a lot. Man, I got told two games. We're going to start something personal.
Yeah, don't get part.
I'm not going to do it.
All right, so I saw you have a Kickstarter going.
Oh, we don't.
You don't?
No.
Well, Tom is drunk.
Evidently, I'm drunk already. Thought I saw.
No, this is actually our first public play test of the game. Uh-huh. We play tested with friends and family, including a lot of our friends that aren't gamers, and they were able to pick the game up and play it because it has kind of lengthy explanation. Once you get into the game, the mechanics are very simple, and the game plays very fast. You can catch on really quickly. Like, right after a turn or two, you'll know what you're doing. And even downstairs, that was showing up. People had never seen the game before. After a turn or two, they were already coming up with strategies and whatnot.
So what type of time frame are you looking at releasing that?
Well, honestly, the whole point of today was we wanted to see, because we think it's a great game, but bring it to a big place. Maybe we think it's great and everybody else would have hated it. Or maybe, like, you know, this is great except for this, and we just got negative feedback or criticism, and I was like, well, okay, take it back to the drawing board, rewrite it, see what we can do. But it's been overwhelmingly positive. So from here, best case scenario, we'd like to track the interest of a publisher, just because warehousing it and worrying about fulfillment from China and all those things is a giant headache, and there are tons of successful Kickstarter failed fulfillment stories that we don't want to become one of. But if we can't go down the publishing route, then we will probably end up on the Kickstarter side of it. So we'll make sure that, but what we'll do is we're going to research the heck out of it, find all the people that failed, figure out why. Tom Vassell actually had just a great thing on a board game developers thing where he was talking with a bunch of people that have run Kickstarters and game developers and in the industry, and they said, like, one of the biggest things that fails Kickstarters is the stretch goals. Because you think, like, oh, I need, like, this much to make the game. But then you forget, like, I got to pay this much out for taxes, this much for Kickstarter. And even if enough left, it's like, hey, I promised for $10 more, I was going to give you free shipping. And then suddenly shipping your game is costing you $30 for each person, and shipping kills off. Something totally comes out of left field.
Yeah, you're not the only person who said that to me.
So we want to really research why some Kickstarters are successful and why others have been successful and then failed, so that when we pull the trigger, we're not in that trap.
Awesome. Now, it looked pretty polished when I was looking at it. For the most part, you must have somebody printing it already.
There's actually a website I went to called Print and Play. Print and Play. Forgive me, I've been demoing for 7 hours straight. Print and Play Games. You can pay them. You send them PDF files and you pay them to give you boards to cut the cards and whatnot. And it works great for the prototype.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know if we'd use this for a final release because the boards are literally taped on the back and whatnot. But for just to set it out in front of someone and teach them
the game. But still, to get a prototype.
Nice.
That's a good
idea. They did for a prototype. That was a nice.
We also got the box. It's strange. One of the first comments we got from one of the people that run here is like, wow, you guys had a great box. And that's what we got was Ziploc bags. Like, cool. That's a good first impression. Yeah.
You guys are into recycling.
You have a box. Wow. It's box technology.
Speaking of the box, what is going to be in the box in this game? Because I noticed there's quite a bit of pieces here.
The box is going to come with the board. Right now, the board is in two sections that fit together. If we get a slightly larger box, we can make it as one board. But Print and Play didn't offer a larger size that we could also print on the top of. So we ended up just going with that size. It'll be the board. You're going to have enough cards to make your starter ship, which is what everyone's playing downstairs. And just because of the starter ship, it's incredibly competitive. Because the cards in the game, it's not like you have a rare card that's better than another card. All the cards are balanced so that by going in a different direction, you can make yourself strong and specialize and leave yourself weak in other areas. So even if all you ever have is a starter ship, you can still get down there and rock out. And it'll also come with some cards you can use to customize your ship and get a taste of it. And it'll have enough for two players, at least that's the current plan. And then we plan on releasing packs kind of like some other games do, like Netrunner and whatnot, where it's like, hey, you can buy the pirate pack, and you'll get pirate ships and extra raiders and this, so you can add those to your game.
Yeah, you can technically even do new boards. if you really wanted to.
You could. I mean, you can literally just lay it on the ground. So the board itself is just to hold the cards and kind of keep an idea of where everything is. You could lay it right on this table and go.
Yeah. Well, oh, by the way, what's your
wouldn't
website?
Wouldn't look as cool, but website is castle1games.com.
Okay.
It's a really primitive website, so if everyone goes to it, it's going to blow it up. But we're going to be adding more content and photos and all that stuff soon.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here. This is actually my first ever interview for a podcast.
Oh,
so
really?
Thank you.
Well, you picked a podcast.
Yeah,
oh.
You broke my drunken podcast cherry.
Yeah, well, drunken part for sure. We've been waiting all day for these damn beers.
Email us at guysgamesandbeer@gmail.com. The G2B theme song features Larry Davis on bass and Bob Harmel on guitar. It was recorded at the RMH Studios in Wisconsin.